Matthew chapter 4, we're going to pick up at verse 1. And for those who are following on, or actually who have downloaded the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, a copy of these notes are already there for you to follow along and then make your additional notes. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, emphasis, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, also known as Satan, devil, came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he, being Jesus, answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil wouldn't stop. He took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And he even quotes scriptures too. He says, "He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil ain't through yet. He took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will only fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil raised up on out of there, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we only desire to hear from you. God, as we look through these passages, God, would you speak to us with clarity? But then, God, as you speak to us, I pray, Father, that we would have some action behind what you speak to us about. God, may we not become complacent or lethargic, God, when it comes to your word. May there be a sense of excitement and enjoyment. Because, God, we have been privileged to hear from you. And, God, we are honored to be able to obey you because you've spoken to us. So, Father, I pray for ears to be unstopped and minds to be very clear, free from distraction for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You have to love the progression of Jesus' journey. He was born a very kind of boring kind of life. He was born to parents that were kind of on the lower economic status. They weren't just all that in a bag of chips. And he grew in wisdom as a boy. He grew in favor as a boy. God was grooming him and maturing him. But then there was this transition. He sees his cousin, John the Baptist, baptizing. And he says, "Oh, I need to go get baptized." I'm paraphrasing. He goes to him, and John is blown away that Jesus would even, let him baptize him. He's like, "No, you need to baptize me." But for Jesus, and you have to appreciate his humility, because he realized at this moment, it's not really about me. It's about me demonstrating how to stay humble, even when I know who I am. That is something we need to learn as a society. That although we may think highly of ourselves, there are moments we have to demonstrate humility in view of who Jesus is. The Bible shows us that we have a Jesus who descended down from heaven, came to earth, took on flesh, and as a matter of fact, the Bible says he took on a form of a slave, which speaks to his humility. He didn't come trying to say, "Hey, I'm the man. I got it going on." He demonstrates I'm willing to be humble. And so he humbles himself, he's baptized, and God affirms his identity. This is my son, whom I'm well pleased of. And it just affirms who Jesus is. So before Jesus starts any ministry, before he gets on his mission, before he calls any men to follow him, he's demonstrating humility. I'm going to try that one more time. Before he does any work, before he has any followers, he demonstrates that I need to be humble before I step into any leadership role. I wish I had some help right there. We live in a society where people feel like I can be a leader based on my qualifications. I can be a leader because of my experience. Jesus says I can be a leader based on my humility. And see, the Lord has a way of preparing us before he starts enlarging our territory. And we have to be okay with the process. The problem is we live in this microwave generation. We want our stuff right now. I don't want to wait. Give it to me right now. I want it right now. And God, oftentimes, Miles, tells us, you got to slow down. There's some things you have to learn. I'm going to brag on Ed Burnett for a second. One of the things he showed me just a few weeks ago, they've been married 47 years. Okay, 47 years. We started our marriage ministry class a couple weeks ago, and he walked away, not saying I already knew that. He walked away saying, man, there's some things I didn't know that was revealed in that class. Because he understands, it doesn't matter if I've been married for 47 years, there's still room for improvement. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been going to church. There are still some areas in your life that needs improvement and for God to develop in you. We should never get in a position where we think we got it figured out. God, I don't need your help. I got this. The worst thing you can ever hear from the Lord is, okay, you do got this. You'll find out real quick how long you're going to be able to survive. Amen, somebody. And so for Jesus, before, again, he understood his mission, and before he stepped out and did anything, he made sure he was walking with the Lord. Because watch what we see. Once he gets baptized, oh, I love this. The Bible says he was led by the Spirit. Okay, I didn't move anybody. Let me try that over on this side. He was baptized, he came out, and the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into a time of fasting and praying. Okay, I'm going to try that one more time. He didn't just make up his mind to say, I'm going to go fast and pray. It was something inside of him that prompted him to move. And God, please deliver me from people who make decisions without being led by God into these decisions. The church is not an organization. It is an organism that's made alive by the Spirit of God. If we don't have the Spirit of God in the house leading us, then guess what? We will cause disaster. Because now we're relying on ourselves and our abilities, our intellect. And God said, I ain't in that. I'm not in that. Because God designed us to move. I wish I had some help right there. God designed us to move, and we're going to move one way or another. What Jesus shows us very clearly is that he was going to be led by the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, be led by the Spirit. And so him being led by the Spirit shows us very clearly he was depending on the Spirit. Jesus could have easily said, you know what, I'm Jesus, the Son of the living God. I know why I'm here. I don't need to be led by anything. And many of us are guilty of leading out and saying, okay, God, come on. I need you to come bless where I'm going. I'm here now, Lord. I need you to bless this. And God says, no, I need you to go over here. But because you are so focused on your own agenda, you got that on your own. There were seasons in my life where, can I be human for a moment? Okay, y'all didn't say nothing over there, so Can I be human for a moment? Can I be human? Y'all not gonna judge me? Y'all gonna judge me. No, y'all not. I know you're not. There was a season when God was calling me to plant a church, and everything inside of me resisted that. Because what we tend to do is we like to examine and measure things. I wish I had some help. We'll couch that by saying, I'm just counting up the costs. Yes, there are times you need to count up the costs. I'm not saying don't just get out there and do stuff. But there are times when God speaks very clearly about something where God expects you to obey when you hear him. And what Steve was busy doing was counting up the costs. And I made counting up the cost the priority. What God wants us to do is to make sure, yes, count up the cost, but make sure I'm the priority. Set your face to me. I had my face to the paper, writing stuff out. And guess what was happening? The enemy was keeping me so immersed in this figuring things out that I looked up and I realized I was walking in disobedience. Oh, I wish I had some help right there. I was planning, I was outlining, I was taking calculated decisions, and I looked up. God says, I didn't need you to move 3 months from now. I needed you to move right now. But here's what God showed me. He said, Steve, I wasn't telling you to leave what you're doing right then. I just needed to know whether you're going to obey my voice. And I never said to God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to trust you. What I did was, okay, God, I heard you. Okay, I heard you, God. Give me a second. Let me figure this out. Hold on. Oh, whoa, whoa. 4 months later. And then God started making things very uncomfortable around me. Because I thought I was obeying God just by planning. But I never just stepped out on faith and said, okay, God, I know it don't make sense. I'm looking for affirmation from other people. God said, don't look for other people to affirm what I said. I'm the one that gives affirmation, not these other folks. Because one minute they'll affirm what you're doing. The next minute they're going to say you're crazy. So whose voice are you going to trust anyway? So yes, because people can be fickle. They will cheer you all 1 minute. The next minute. I'm sorry. That was just... I had a flashback. It just kind of took me back for a moment. Y'all, I'm back now. So Jesus demonstrates that he depended on the Spirit. And I want you to do a self-assessment of your own life. In what ways are you demonstrating that you're depending on the Spirit to guide you? I want us to be very clear. What areas? How can somebody look at your life and say, I can tell that you're Spirit-led based on X, Y, and Z? And the sad reality is that many of us can't articulate that. Because we've never really been Spirit-led. We don't know what that looks like. Because remember, Jesus was baptized because he was humble, and maybe that's why you're not being Spirit-led. Maybe that's why the Spirit is not leading you, because you're so full of pride. And the Spirit can't lead you because you think you have it figured out. So before Jesus stepped out into this 40 days of fasting, he was led by the Spirit because he was humble. So before I get into a lot of details, make sure you're humble. And then the Lord will lead you and guide you. Amen. And so what happens is that Jesus is led to the wilderness. And for Jesus, this is a time of solitude where he had to be alone with God. He was not afraid to be alone with God for 40 days and 40 nights. For some people, they have a hard time being with God alone for 40 seconds, let alone 40 days. Some people struggle with being with God 40 minutes. Rather, 40 days. Jesus was not afraid to spend this time of solitude because he knew there needed to be some preparation before he called people to follow him. He knew that there had to be a period of preparation before he stepped out in his mission. Now, many of us say, God, I know you've called me to do something. I know you've prepared me for something. But you got to spend time with God so that he can continue to prepare you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Gordon MacDonald, he says this in his book, Ordering Your Private World. He says that we have to have these periods of meditation. And he would describe that this meditation is a time of silence. I'll wait for you. We cannot be afraid of silence. For those who typically come out on Wednesdays, when we have our time of prayer, I often tell them, hey guys, we gotta slow down. We gotta just be silent for a moment. Because we gotta get room for the Spirit to speak to us. My family, I come from a large family, I have 34 first cousins. Y'all didn't catch that. 34 first cousins. I have, there was 10 of them in my mom's family. She was one of 10. So we rolled deep. And so there are times when we're together and it's just loud. Because everybody got something to say about something. And my wife often asks me, she said, babe, why are you so loud? Because I had to try to talk over everybody else. And that's hereditary, so I don't, you know, that's hereditary. That was just passed down to us. And then I noticed, like, my son does the same thing. He walks around the house loud like there's 100 people in the house. But I learned this, when we're talking that loud at the same time at each other, nobody's hearing nothing. There's nothing being shared that's sticking because we're just yelling and talking at each other and nobody's hearing what the other person is really saying. And nothing fruitful comes away from it. So what am I saying? If we're always talking at God, talking at God, talking at God, talking at God, just throwing up a bunch of religious words and just keep going at him, going, 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 and then we say amen and we walk away. God said, you didn't even give me a chance to say nothing. Tell your neighbor, be silent. Now tell them like you mean, be silent. The other thing he says is that you gotta invest time. So if you're gonna be in this time of solitude, you gotta have silence and you gotta make time. And this time cannot be hurried. The Bible says he spent 40 days, 40 nights. So he dedicated an amount of time for the Lord. He had to spend some time in silence. But then the third component, what you need is privacy. There are times when we come together for corporate gatherings. Yes, those are needed. But when you need to hear a word from the Lord, you shut the door. You go in your own closet. You are silent and you commit the time. Now let me say this. Now don't just quickly put Jesus on the clock. All right, Jesus, I got 5 minutes. Go. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? What Jesus was doing, he was spending an extended period of time to be developed by the Lord, to hear from the Lord. What am I saying? There must be times in your spiritual formation that you spend extended amounts of time with the Lord. Don't rush him. Tell your neighbor, don't rush him. And so for these next couple things we want to say, then I'm done, is that in this passage, it's teaching us how to just depend on God. Yeah, baby, I hear you. Learn to depend on God. Tell your neighbor, depend on God. Here's three things you didn't know, then we're done. First of all, God tests, not tempt. God tests us. God doesn't tempt us. So while Jesus is on this spiritual journey, there's a period in which he's being tested. His faith is being tested and tried. Why? Well, let me just say this, because sometimes people can be fraud. Fake. Y'all know what that is? Not authentic. Not real. Not genuine. Am I at your doorstep yet? So the idea is that because we can posture as though we are spiritually fit, but when God tests us, we find out how fit we really are. And there are times where we would avoid God so that our tests won't be, our faith won't be exposed for what it really is. Oh, gosh. So rather than going through times of fasting and praying, I'll avoid that because I'm afraid that my faith might not be as strong as I think it is. What fasting does, it reveals. Tell your neighbor, it reveals something. But know this, so when God is testing us, it does mean that also the tempter may show up. You're being tested, your faith is being tested, but the tempter will show up to try to lure you away from the objective. See, God doesn't tempt us with evil. God doesn't tempt us into sin. That's what the devil does. And more importantly, if you're not careful, you can't always blame it on the devil. I wish I had some help right there. The Bible says that God doesn't tempt us with evil, but we're drawn away by the desires that's already in us. He says the only reason you're lured into this sin is not because it's just in front of you. It was already in you first. And now you just saw something that's matching on the inside of you. And you realize, I gotta have it. I ain't get no amen on that, that's right. Because what we have to be careful of is the desires and the cravings on the inside of us. And if they go unchecked, then all the enemy needs is just the opportunity. Because it's just a matter of our desires being matched up with opportunity, then boom, that's sin. Okay, y'all act like I don't know what's up. Okay, let's say it like this. All right, so let's say I'm giving up salt. I'm no longer desiring salt. I'm foregoing salt in my diet from here on out. So when I see salt, it doesn't tempt me. But if I say in my mind, I'm going to give it up. But in my soul, I'm still going to get that salt in my life. In my mind, I'm saying I'm putting it down. But in my soul, that salt sure make that food taste good. And then I show up at somebody's house, they say, hey, you need some salt? Well, since it's right here. All it is that it was already a desire on the inside of me. And now all I needed was an opportunity, and then that thing just starts sprinkling all over my food. The devil made me do it. No, we can't blame the devil on that one. Let's get it real clear. All right. Okay, I'm laying aside all these other lustful desires. I'm going to set my mind on my spouse. I'm laying aside desires for everybody else. But in my soul, I feel like I'm made for more than just one person. In my mind, I'm putting it down. But in my soul, I know I can give it to more than just one person. All it needs is just a right. Oh, she just showed up. I don't know what happened. What happened? I just don't even. Because I didn't deal with the desire on the inside of me. Opportunity presented itself. The devil made me do it. No. Tell your neighbor, check them desires. So when we go through the spiritual journey, what God does is that he reveals to us the standard in which we ought to live. Oh, gosh. The Bible says, and we don't talk about this enough, and I fought myself for this. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. The standard is that God set the standard. This is how you ought to live and how to behave. Be holy. The problem is we want to be in our own level and bring God to our level. Well, God says, no, I need you to get on my level. And so we have to learn to say, okay, God, I don't know it all, but I'll be before you so that you can inform me of areas I need to change. So being with God changes you. The less you're with God, the less you are being changed by God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So again, I say this all the time. When Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, he doesn't say, wow, man, don't I have it going on? Man, I'm dope. I'm good. But no, when he sees the Lord, He sees himself. And he says, man, I messed up. I'm Torah for the floor. But the more we are encountering the Lord, the more he's exposing us. The more we're before the Lord and see who he is, the more we see about ourselves and realize there's some things I got to change. And this is what God does. He's using this as a refining process. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God refines us. Gary Thomas says this in his book, Everybody Matters. He says, in the refining process, he says, you can't create silver. He says, here's what you can do. You can separate silver. He says, through the refining process, what you're trying to do is move the silver out of the way and this other stuff they call dross, and this is what they call impurities. Because what the impurities do is that they affect the silver in its shining. So if you remove the dross, the silver can shine. As long as the silver is there, the silver doesn't shine. God does us the same way. He says, I want you to shine brightly, but there's still some stuff in you that needs to be removed that's causing you to not shine as well as you can be. And so God says, I need to take you through this refining process to separate the junk that's keeping you from shining so that you can be the best version of yourself. As long as that junk exists in your life, then guess what? You will not be your best. I know what you're saying. What's the junk? I'm glad you asked. The junk is sin. As long as you find yourself, keep entangling yourself in, okay, you don't know what sin is. Okay, sin is lowering the standard. God, you said do it this way, but I'm going to do it my own way. So God has to refine us. Tell your neighbor, he refines us. But then also this testing, when we go through this process, it's also, watch this, it's completing you. Write down James chapter 1. 2-4, he says, and I love this, he says, count it all joy when you find yourself in various trials. He says, because of this, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, it's going to produce in you patience. And when patience is complete in you, then guess what? You will be complete. So what is he suggesting? He says, when God tests you, what God is doing is trying to perfect the patience. Why do you need patience? So that you can endure life's trials. Because life, oh gosh, can happen to you at any moment. And what God needs us to do is to endure those trials so that we don't fold under the pressure. Because for many people, when they have the pressures of life, they start to sin. Why? Because it's easier. Oh, Lord, they done fired me. I got to go drink this Jack now. Somebody mistreated me. I got to go cuss them out. These internet things just keep popping up. I don't know how I keep finding myself on these sites. Because these pressures start being applied. And you no longer want to endure and keep living a faith that honors God. But now you begin to say, you know what? I'm just going to give up on God. Because I expected God to keep me from having to experience this. And that's bad religion. God said, in this world, there will be difficulties. He says, and don't trip. I've overcome this world. And if I overcome this world, you're going to overcome this stuff. So don't turn your back on God when life gets hard. So God says, I need to develop your endurance so that you can endure harder stuff. Because there will be times stuff will get harder. Amen? So God sends Jesus through this process of testing and preparing. And then we see next in verses 4, really 7 and 10, that God's word, oh, I love this. God's word defends against temptation. Oh, gosh. Notice what happened. The enemy tries on 3 different occasions to try to tempt Jesus. He tempts him physically. He knows Jesus is hungry. Hey, homie, Jesus, of course he's going to come at you as a friend. Look at them stones. Make your bread, man. Make your bread. Jesus says, no. Man shall live by bread alone. No. Man does not live. Y'all got to pay attention. Y'all just missed that. No, man does not live on bread alone. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he says, that's what you live on. Because God's word is life. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He says, don't depend on the bread. In a literal sense and a figurative sense. What I'm saying to some of us, don't just live for the bread, the money alone. Live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Secondly, he tempts Jesus to take a shortcut. Jesus knows that he has to go to Jerusalem. He has to suffer. He has to die. He knows that. So what the enemy does, he says, let me give you a different way. I need you to show everybody that you for real, the Son of God, by demonstrating your authority. So I want you to try to throw yourself off and see that the angel's going to come and support you. So people need to know you're Jesus, but I'm going to give you a shortcut way to get there. And many of us like the shortcuts. Don't take me the long way, Jesus. Quickly get me there. See, back home, you know, there was a lot of land everywhere. Not so much up here. Everything close up here. Back home, there'd be fields of stuff. And there are times where me and my brothers and my cousins, we didn't want to just go the long way around stuff. We had to cut across the field. And then watch this. After a while, we made a path. Because we wore that grass down. Made the neighbors mad because they saw this line. Because it was easier for us to get to that candy place. Because if we went this way, we had traffic. We had mean neighbors. We didn't want to deal with all that. Cut across the field. And what the enemy wants us to do is try to shortcut our way to our destiny. Through manipulation, through cheating, through deceit, just so that we can get there and say we made it there. God says, I need you to take your time and let's do it right. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But then he also tempts him with power. He says, go, and I love this. He took him up to the mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms and their glory as if he has the power to bestow that on Jesus. I love that. He says, and all you have to do, if you really want all this, just bow to worship me. And many saints fall at this one right here. We see the shine. We see all the glory that we can get. And then we quickly abandon God. We quickly abandon church. We quickly start worshiping the thing that we so desire. Why? Because we can see it. Oh, gosh. And the devil don't mind showing it to you. You can have all this. If you stop trusting Jesus, you can have all this. If you bow down and worship me, all this can be yours. And some of us say, yep, sold. But what does Jesus do every time? When he hears the enemy's attempts, he uses the word. I want y'all to hear this. You cannot combat the enemy just by being mean to him. I want y'all to hear me. You're not going to combat the enemy just by turning your back to him. No, no, no. You combat the enemy by using the word of God. And that means, watch this, you got to know the word. Notice what you don't see Jesus do. Hold on, devil, let me get my Bible. I need to find something right quick. Let me look something up. No. It was already in his heart. He was prepared before he even went into the wilderness. Many of us start getting these battles, and we don't have any word, and we find ourselves falling. Why? Because we ain't put the word in our heart, nor have we hid it in us. And maybe we're losing some fights because we are losing our appetite for God's word. I'm going to encourage you this week. Just get one. Just get one word. And just meditate on just that. Let that set, and I want you to find one that would apply in every circumstance. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? All right, last one, then I'm done. When you're fasting and praying, God will always send help. I love that. In verse 11, as soon as Jesus rebukes the devil with the word, not just say, I rebuke you, Satan. See, we think that works. Yes, in some instances. But I'm telling you, the word works better than just, I rebuke you. So you got to have some word behind that rebuking. I rebuke you because the Bible says, I shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, oh, you like that now, huh? And then he's wearied, he's hungry, and watch this, he's been battling. Watch this, he's been battling after he's fasted for 40 days. He's tired. And I love what God does. He sends a ministry angel to come restore him. I want you to be encouraged in this. When you make this kind of sacrifice to be with God, he is going to restore you. He's not going to leave you hanging by yourself. He said, no, I see my soldier. I see my son. I see my daughter. They're weary. They've been sacrificing. They've been sowing. They've been praying. Let me restore them. And that's exactly what God does. He sees his son. He says, angels, go take care of that for me. And that's exactly what God does. So here's some next steps you need to practice this week to help you during your time of fasting and praying. First of all, do this. Lean into God's word. Lean into it. I mean, don't just casually just open it until you fall asleep. I know that's how some of us operate, because we think that if we go to sleep while it's on my mind, it's going to stick. It don't. I don't care if you lay your head on the Bible. That's not what I mean, lean into it. No. Lean into it, take passages at a time. And here's, I'll give you this one little tip with that as well. As you're reading scripture, if there's something that arrests your attention, at that moment, stop. Stop right there and stay with that. Because maybe the Lord is trying to speak that into your spirit. Because don't get caught up in thinking, I gotta make it through the whole book of Matthew today. No. Maybe it's something in Matthew 1 he needs you to pay attention to and just meditate on that. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Secondly, learn your desires. Because as I stated before, you need to find out what do you crave often. Because if you don't pay attention to that, the enemy will use that. If he knows you like bread, then guess what? Bread will show up. So I said, and butter. Well, it's here. I might as well. And I promise you, and the Lord is not, I mean, he's not going to appreciate the fact you just saying it was here. You don't want to go to waste. I'm going to tell it. I wasn't going to. I'm going to tell it. So this week, I had a fever a couple days. And I was kind of having some challenges, and I asked somebody to bring me some soup. I told them what I was giving up. And they bring me the exact opposite of what I... They brought me exactly what I'm giving up. And I said, okay, Jesus, what am I going to do? I'm hungry, but you know I'm giving up this. It's right here, Jesus. And it was hot, too. Smelling good. I said, Jesus, since it's here, can't waste it. But I did. I prayed about it, though. I had to pray. I said, all right, Jesus, are you telling me because I'm sick? And they brought me this chicken noodle soup. This is what I'm supposed to have to help with the sickness. I was trying to justify it because, you know, that's what we'll do. We'll justify this sinful behavior. Well, you know, I am sick, Jesus. And they say, you know, chicken noodle soup is good when you're sick. Because, see, the enemy knows how to get you. He doesn't just show up unprepared. He shows up very prepared. I promise you, that chicken was, well, I was like, man, I'm about to tear it up. I went in and got some crackers. She went all mad and stuff. Anyway, learn your desires, amen. Thirdly, leave certain habits behind. There's got to be certain behaviors you got to stop if you're going to live a life fulfilled in Jesus. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. God expects us not to be sinless. God wants us to be blameless. There's a difference. God knows we're subject to fail. However, God doesn't want a certain lifestyle to be characterized by you. Okay, let me say it like this. Okay. There are times our rumors that preachers are only, well, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say it. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. They'll just say that preachers were all about money. They call them pimps, pulpit pimps, and all that kind of stuff. Don't act like y'all ain't never heard that stuff, okay? Some of y'all probably said it last week. Whatever. And so if that's out there on the street, then Steve has to watch how he walks in public. What's out there shouldn't be demonstrated in here amongst the saints. It may be true for other folks, but it won't be true about this dude right here. So when I say walk blameless, everybody else can be that. But you won't put that at Steve's feet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they may say Christians are hypocrites. But it don't, and they do. But may it not be true in here. They cannot assign that kind of sin to us. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm done. So let's take a few minutes. Okay, God, what did you say to me today that resonated the most? Just the one thing. You don't have to ask for 3 points or whatever. What's the one thing that God spoke to you about today that needs changing, that needs to be addressed, that needs to be eliminated? And this is what I want you to do. If you can get close to about 2 or 3 people, I just want you to circle up with just 2 or 3 people right around you. Get close. Hold their hands. Or lean on them or something. Get close to them. Now, don't start asking them their business. This ain't the time. But this needs to be individual and at the same time corporate prayer. Seeking God's face. Saying, God, we need you. This is not about listening to a person pray. This is about listening for God. Let us listen for God, not the person who's talking or praying. It's not about that. It's about listening for God. God has something to say to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your circles, I just want you to pray for the heart of the house, that we would love one another. I want you to pray collectively together. Let's pray that. Father, touch our hearts. God, may we lay aside, God, every difference, every disagreement, anything that will cause us to be divided. God, we want to operate as one body. God, I pray that you would reveal to us, God, if we do have an issue with anybody. And God, that we would get that resolved today. God, that this place would be a place of love, a safe place where anyone from anywhere can feel that they can be a part of this. But it starts with us. God, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in us, God. So that, God, we can love one another. God, we thank you for what you are already doing in our church family. Relationships are changing and forging. Friendships are forming, God. People who didn't get along now get along, God. Why? Because you're at the center. God, help us to lower our own preferences and lift you up, God. God, your word says that as we lift you up, God, you will draw all men unto yourself. Thank you for mending broken hearts. Thank you. God, you be glorified in this oneness, in this body. Father, I pray, and church, I want us praying that God would fill this house, not with just people, but with people who love the Lord. And if they come in here and they don't love the Lord, that they will find out that loving the Lord is much better. Yes. Pray that God would fill this house with people who will be willing to follow him. They're teachable. They're humble. They're hungry for God. Pray that we would be patient with those that God sent. That yes, they may not fit a kind of person we think ought to be here, but God, you sent them here and we're going to love on them. Some may be coming to Jesus for the very first time. God, may we love them. There may be some, God, saying, I need to recommit to Jesus. May we love them. There are some that just they say, I need to be plugged in and connected to a church family. May we love them. God, fill this house. God, your word says you came to seek and to save that which is lost. God, may we pursue people who may be far away from you. May we extend an invitation to those who feel disconnected. The person who feels left out, left behind. God, may we pursue them. Fill this house, God. Fill this house. Now pray for your neighbor. Pray for the person whose hand you're holding. Now begin to pray that God will sustain them during this time of fasting and praying. That they won't get weary in this well-doing. Thank you. That they don't wave the white flag when the pain starts hitting them. Pray that God would overwhelm them. Show up in ways that they hadn't seen before. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, God. 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 Pray that your neighbor will hear from God this week. Pray that God will reveal himself this week. Pray that your neighbor will be open to hear God speak, whether it's audibly through his word, through someone else. Pray that they will have a heart to receive God's word. Pray that there will be a responsiveness to God's word. God may call them to do something that's beyond their comfort. Pray that they will be confident that God will sustain them in whatever it is that God is calling them to do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And you may not know where that person is spiritually, emotionally, physically. Pray that God would make them whole. Whatever may be deficient in their life, pray that God would make them whole. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we thank you for what we have heard and experienced on today. God, we thank you for how you have spoken to us, God. God, we thank you for how you have encouraged us today, God. So, Father, we look forward to what you have in store for us this week, God. God, we know that you have something special reserved for us this week as we press into the second week of our fasting, God. God, we are looking, we are expecting, God, for something special to happen. Supernatural this week, God. God, we don't want to miss the move that will take place this week, God. So strengthen us, God, as we endure through this time of fasting and prayer. God, that we don't faint, that we don't get weary. God, your strength is made perfect in our times of weakness, God. So God, when our flesh becomes weak, God, you stand in us, God. You strengthen us so that we might persevere, God. But then, God, as we are spending this time with you, God, search within us, God. God, root out, God, anything that is unlike you so that we might walk worthy in the calling that you have for us, God. God, that when people see us, God, that they will see us as blameless before you, honoring you in our words and our deeds and our minds, God. Father, thank you that you are nourishment for our soul. And Lord, would you nourish our soul this week? Nourish us. And God, we'll give your name the honor. And Father, as we're praying, if there's anyone here today who said they was not expecting this time of prayer. They wasn't expecting to hear that they need to learn to depend on God. But God, they found themselves here today because you need to remind them that yes, you test our faith, but yet you also are the one who's able to restore us when life tries to rob us. But God, you sit there here to hear that message, but they're not saved. Or they may have just gone off, they drifted off into other things and no longer made you priority. But they want to recommit themselves today. We're praying for those individuals. There may be some here today saying, hey, we're looking for a church family to be connected to be in a place that's called a house of worship, a place that's a house of prayer. God sent me here to get connected. And if you're here, you're saying, Pastor, I need to commit to Jesus for the first time, or I need to recommit myself to Jesus, or I'm saying I'm here because I need a church family to be a part of. If that's you, I want you to come down and talk with us. You can let go of their hands, you can move, or if you don't want to move, just raise your hand right where you are. Or if you say, I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer. I struggled this week. I've had challenges this week. I just need the saints to pray with me. If that's you, would you just kind of raise your hand where you are? Amen. Thank you. Amen. God, you are faithful. God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And God, you know what each of us are asking for. God, you know what it is. And yet, God, you're able to exceed that. So, Lord, would you exceed our expectations through this time of fasting and prayer? But, God, I pray for that person who may not felt comfortable making a decision today, God. God, I pray that they would encounter you this week and affirm, God, that you are speaking to them. Affirm, God, that you're trying to get their attention. That you're now trying to lead them, not them leading themselves. So, Father, show up this week. Holy Spirit, guide this week. And God, we give your name the praise. In Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen.